A very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Thursday, 13th March 2025. So, as usual, we will continue our sharing from this unique Dhamma code, straight from the heart, as compiled by me, based on all the unique code that I shared with Kayanamitas. We are at unique code 147, I think. We finished 146, but I may have to go back a bit to explain. Let us now compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhan Si Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Wen Su Pu Sa. Namo Wen Su Pu Sa. Namo Wen Su Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. Ganna Sarappaditena Dipena Madangsina Diloka Dipang Sambuddhan Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena ดุเปนาหังสุกังหินาปูจายปูจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจานามุตตมังวันนากันดาโกนุเปตังตังกุสุมาสันตทินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสีริปะกาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกุสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามัตเตนาเจโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายัตติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาพิทังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาพิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาพิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมังNow you chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise a needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein.Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible.Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond between nibbana, making of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception.Especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Triple Jam. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami.สังฆังปุจเจมิ Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of inner awareness, or just be attentive without thought to develop the sati within. Awareness-based meditation is very simple when you understand, like the word awareness-based. So the purpose of our meditation is to train our mind to develop this inner awareness. To be aware is very simple. Without thought, you're already aware. That's why sati or mindfulness is an awareness before the arising of thought, before the arising of the aggregates of mind, the perception and all those things. For us to perceive something is for us to know something. That's why the first aggregate that normally arises is perception. And when we perceive, our mind that has the memory, conditioning, the belief system, this one will try to interpret what we perceive. It can be a seeing, a hearing, a smell, a taste, a tactile or thought process. So upon perception, based on your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system and knowledge accumulated, you tend to react to what you perceive. So the stirring of the mind, you must see clearly how it arises through our own mental accumulation that leads to all the views, opinion, conditioning and belief system that condition us into certain aspect of knowledge that brings about your way of perceiving things. That's why from there you react, you stir based on your habitual tendency, your like and your dislike. So to develop the inner awareness, you must not do all this movement. All this movement lead to thought process, sankhara activity. So what you should do is, like the four support I have taught you all. First support is relax. Relax into body and mind. When you relax, you don't think. You just feel yourself soothingly relaxed. Physically, mentally, completely relaxed. Means at ease. No stress, no tension, nothing. The body is in a complete relaxed state of body and mind. Then maintaining awareness is a natural consequence. Before the mundane mind arises, before the perception arises, the mind does not stir. When it does not stir, means there is no emotion, no feeling, nothing. That's why when you observe with awareness, you will understand who you are, what you are, and how you stir your mind, how you function as a human being, how you become caught in all this emotion entanglement, how you react to sense experience. These movements are mundane activity that arise from the pure nature, the pure awareness nature, which is your true mind. So awareness-based meditation is to stay at the inner awareness, to observe the movement from there, how you create through the mundane thinking, the mundane thought process, and how aggregates of mind come to be. Without this aggregates of perception, feeling, sankhara activity, you can never arise the thinking mind, the mundane mind. So see it clearly. Then understand that these are part and parcel of the form and mind that the Buddha described. And there are two aspects to it. And these two aspects is the essence of understanding who we are, what we are, and how from there we root out Sakkayaditi. When you understand clearly who are you, what are you, then you can liberate your mind. You will not be deceived by the phenomenal of consciousness and form that your mundane mind create or manifest. So all these are related. So now coming back to awareness-based meditation, you just relax the first support, body and mind. Then don't try to know, don't try to do anything. We are the knowing and the doing is always by the thought. So for you to develop awareness, maintain awareness, you don't think. Don't arise any thought process or aggregates of mind. To do that, you just allow the mind to settle down. Means be with the true mind, the silent mind. The supramundane mind or your true mind, which is just pure awareness. That's why maintaining awareness is to stay with that true mind without thought. So whatever arises, aware. Try not to perceive. But because of your habitual tendency, the perception keep on coming. And because of your memory, accumulated views, opinion, knowledge, everything, that movement is very, very strong. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara is very strong. So see that, understand that. That's why when you straighten your view and root out avijja, there is no more avijja. Then technically the first link of Avijja Paccaya Sankhara stop, cannot arise. Because the wisdom they understand, see clearly. Thing is just the way it is. Everything that arises from the mundane thinking or mundane activity of the mundane mind, they are conditioned arising phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. So when you are able to realize this during the silent inner awareness, training of mind to be aware, then you understand profoundly what is going on within the form and mind. And you will see clearly what this form and mind is all about, its universal characteristic. Then from there, you can understand who you are, what you are, what is this five year form and mind all about. How come it can develop this movement? Then how you can understand all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha? Like he said, mind is a foreigner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So this mind is referring to the mundane mind, the thinking mind, that has mental intention behind, moral causation. That's how it triggers off the karmic process. So see this, understand all this. Then within that silent inner awareness, you will awaken. You will come to a very deep, penetrative realization. Then all of a sudden, that understanding free you, liberate you, transform you. That's how you meditate. Okay, now I will go through the four support again. Relax body and mind. Don't try to know, don't try to think. Silence everything. Then maintain the inner awareness. The third support is to stabilize this inner awareness. Means every moment of sense experience, just aware. Finish. Don't let it continue with the perception, reaction, and stirring of the mind. Don't allow the thought to proliferate, leading to all the verbalization, chattering, emotion, reaction. stirring of the mind, etc. All these are creation from there. The mundane mind has taken over. You already out of the pure awareness nature. You're no longer with your true nature within. That's why you are lost in thought, heedless. And the thought arises. The mundane thinking arises. Why? Because the untrained mind thinks a lot. It wanders off very fast. It don't have the spiritual faculty to stabilize your inner awareness. Your sati is not stable. Your understanding is not there, panya. You have not awakened. That's why all this you will come to know. Then after you have stabilized your inner awareness, then the true mind will arise. You will realize your true mind. So our purpose is to develop this inner awareness, stabilize it so that you can realize your true mind. Then you will understand clearly you have two minds. One is the eternal pure awareness nature, the primordial mind, which was there all the while. The other one is the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind that arises from there. The movement is very fine, very subtle. See it, realize it. Yeah. Without the stable, pure awareness nature, you cannot come to the understanding. So to understand, you must realize the true mind, the silent mind, without thought. Then you understand clearly, without thought, who are you? What are you? What is the pure awareness nature that doesn't have words, doesn't have duality, that cannot know? It's just that nature away. Yeah. But it's capable of silent observation, direct seeing, leading to ability to insight into phenomena, to awaken to their universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. So when you can have the inner awareness stabilized, pure awareness, then you can use it to meditate, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to understand how the mundane mind creates the karmic process, the thinking, the emotion, everything. Then you will come to realize that all these are dependent originating mundane mind state, not intrinsic to your nature. Means fear is not you, anger is not you, all the emotion that arise are not you. They are dependent originating entity. All these are phenomena, mental phenomena. Then through the mental phenomena, you can also be aware of physical phenomena, nature's phenomena. Then all of phenomena created by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form become very clear to you. Then when you awaken, they lose their power to delude you and deceive you. And this is how you develop the wisdom, silence everything, use that true mind, the pure awareness nature, to insight in the phenomena and awaken. Then the fourth support is after you can stabilize all this, then your mind is tranquil, still, but it's a free mind, no movement. Yeah. Then you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditative movement, T-R-A-U-S-T. So this trust, you can start off with maintaining the stability of awareness at your heart area. Just center it there, relax, maintain awareness there. Then let this pure awareness nature detect. By itself, it will detect. Wherever there is vibration, heartbeat or whatever, movement, the awareness can be with it. Then finally, when you are relaxed enough, it will locate the gateway to your nature. Then your mind becomes very different. Then you will come to realize a very beautiful phenomena that will happen. All of your external yin-yang energy will flow and melt into it, then dissolve through the gateway to your nature, and they manifest as pure energy to do the internal movement and transformation from within. That fourth support is very powerful. It can lead to inner transformation. It can access the gateway to realize your nature. Then as you continue to cultivate, it will open up more and more, more and more, until your inner awareness nature becomes so clear. Then you can illuminate the inner nature. Yeah. So that one will take time. The process will take time. Yeah. But you can do that, it will be beautiful. And as you go through the transformation, the movement, your vibration become different, your consciousness and your awareness become very different. Then this pure awareness nature also, they become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, until finally the vibration all become very fine, very beautiful. Then it become completely without movement, completely still. But you are not dead. Then this is what paucity is. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, without any thought, without any activity or movement. This is the enlightenment factor that can allow you to develop the direct seeing inside the phenomena. And you can also stabilize this paucity. It can stabilize until it's unwavering. The mind that is in upeka, or what we call equanimity, is born of wisdom. But before that, you will develop a type of samadhi, which is that free mind without movement. Means this free mind is collected and unwavering. Means it has the stability of inner tranquility, stillness, and awareness. When that one stabilizes, paucity becomes samadhi. And this type of samadhi is a free mind in samadhi. It's not a conditioned state. It's born of wisdom, supported by wisdom. That's why from paucity, accumulate into samadhi. Then when you are in that state of samadhi, you will be able to see things as they are, even in the midst of life. And through that, you will develop the wisdom, the understanding, and the awakening. Then that wisdom will make your mind equanimous. That equanimity, or upeka mind, born of wisdom, is the seven factors of enlightenment, the last of the seven. And that's how the seven factors of enlightenment can be realized. You all can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati sattva Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akkaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatam veditabho vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Nyaya patipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Yaditam chatari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyam khetam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. We are at unique Dhamma code 147, but I need to go back to 146 so that there is better understanding. Straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code. So as a reminder, a refresh, like revision. How do we know the world? How do we know things and understand things? To know the world, you need your senses. Then to interact with the world, we also need our senses. That's why we are a conscious being. We are capable of being a conscious being. Then we have the six basic sense bases. Each and every of these sense bases is capable of arising their respective sense door consciousness. That's why as a conscious being, we can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And this is how you interact with the world. This is how you know the world. And this is how you become like alive. You animate into a living being. And for our case, it's a human being. And all these are possible only through our senses, together with the mind or the consciousness that is trapped inside. Then it triggers the respective sense door consciousness. And through this consciousness, like the Buddha explained, the analogy, in his analogy, consciousness is like a magician, an illusionist, create illusion for you to see. It's called an illusion because our world is an illusionary world, a phenomenal world of consciousness. It arises and passes away very fast. And within the entire existence, the universe, there are countless living beings that simultaneously and continuously manifesting the conscious mind, or we call the mundane thinking mind. Through the process of consciousness, they develop the mental intention, giving rise to what we call moral causation, that trigger the karmic activity for the law of karma to take effect. And this karmic activity is the one that continue to create more and more what they call activity within existence. Then it starts to create more evolution of consciousness. But there are two aspects to consciousness. One is the normal mundane thinking mind or thought-based consciousness. The other one is the silent inner awareness, the pure awareness nature. We call it the inner awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. And that is the one that is a lot more powerful than the thought-based consciousness or the mundane mind, the thinking mind. But the problem is the world. They are more familiar with the thought process, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. Most of them, when they come, they forgot that they were the pure awareness nature before the arising of thought. So that part is a mystery that living being fails to realize. So the purpose of the Buddhist teaching is to reverse all this, to realize that pure awareness nature, the true mind, so that you can understand how from there all things arise. That's why the famous teaching when the Buddha mentioned, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. Then Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the twin verse, the famous twin verse, they become very easy to comprehend and understand, and they become very important. Because if you know our mind, the mundane mind, mano, is the forerunner of all things, and that mano or mundane mind is chief. Because when this mind arises, all things arise, all of creation, all of the sankhara activity, movement leading to the karmic activity or moral causation, that spin of the karmic nature's movement and condition our existence into what it is. And this process continues, evolve. Like unending. That's why we call it samsara, cycle of birth and death. We have this karmic process, the trigger of rebirth, continuous unending rebirth. And it involves countless beings. So this process, this movement is very enormous. Yeah. So this unit code 146 is to let you understand how this movement come to be. That's why in this code I mentioned. Now we turn to unit code 146. Everything you come to see or perceive is via your pure consciousness. Then from that pure consciousness, like the Buddha said, in your seeing is only the seeing consciousness. In whatever you arise, like hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process, is just the pure, respective pure consciousness arise. But the moment that pure consciousness arise, like the physics experiment based on nature's law, the mundane mind is very, very active. It immediately, through its accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, it starts to react and stir. That's why this movement is called the mind inputting the content of consciousness based on your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. Then of course it includes your various mind states like phobia, insecurity, fear, worry, anxiety, excitement or violent state. So all this is how the thought moves. And when you input the content of consciousness, it transforms into a thought. And this thought become your five aggregates of form and mind. We call it the five mental aggregate of form and mind. It is this five mental aggregate of form and mind that created the world. And everything else that you come to perceive. That's why, how do you know the world? Through your senses, through your perception, through your memory. Then all knowing come from mind. That's why there is nothing to know. Whatever you know is knowledge, not wisdom. Wisdom is not a knowing. Wisdom is an awakening, a realization. When you awaken, when you realize, when you insight into phenomena, that understanding manifests within your consciousness, within your nature, that pure awareness nature. That's like the pure awareness that can see via the direct seeing is the one that awakens. Yeah. That is the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So these five aggregates of form and mind is basically the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the first noble truth, final summary. Under the first noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed the eight realities of life and existence. He said, all living beings, including human beings, if you go through life long enough, you will confront the eight realities. And these eight realities of life and existence can condition suffering if you don't have the wisdom, if you don't have the Dhamma understanding taught by him. And this is how it started. He proclaimed this noble truth of dukkha or suffering or unsatisfactoriness of condition existence. He said, birth, old age, sickness and death. When you confront them without understanding, not knowing their reality, you will be deceived, deluded, via sakkayaditti, and suffering will be the result. Then the fifth reality is separation from your loved ones, your prized possession, things that you hold on to dearly, things that you think you own, you possess. Separation, when you don't have the wisdom, when it happens, you will become miserable, you will suffer, you will be afflicted, because you attach to all these things, believing that they are real, belong to you. They are your loved one, your possession, your whatever wealth, property, or things that you hold on to dearly. Can be your whatever very rare jewelries or gem, or even certain people like antiques. Arts or whatever. Yeah. Then the sixth reality is when you are with people whom you don't like, you suffer. When things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, you are afflicted. Then the seventh reality is when you are with people whom you don't like, is the sixth already. The last one is when things don't go your way, expectations in life are not met, suffering will be the result. Then the last one, the eighth reality, he said, in short, he said, all this arise because of your sakkayaditti, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp, cling and hold on to all these things, thinking that you are real, you exist, you are a permanent, unchanging entity that can own things, possess things and have things. Then the egoic mind that manifests to cling on to all this, the I, the me and the mind. So in short, you say, it is due to your sakkayaditti, that condition you to grasp, cling and hold on to all these things, that is the cause of suffering. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind, the final summary, is very important. You have to understand this. You cannot understand the five aggregate of form and mind. You cannot understand his teaching on sakkayaditti or self-delusion. So the gist of it is, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's a conditioned, arising entity, dependent, originating. We live in a conditioned world. Whatever there is within the conditioned world need causes and conditions for its arising, sustaining, and passing away. So these are the reality. Then the five aggregate form and mind, like I have taught you, there are two aspects to it, and these two aspects are very important. And when you understand these two aspects, then you know why they are not you. When you meditate through awareness-based meditation, you see them clearly. They are all dependent, originating, condition arising phenomena, not a permanent, unchanging entity, not what you think. Then they have the universal characteristics of impermanent. When you attach and cling, wanting your way, suffering is the result. Everything behaves following nature's law. So the nature's law will condition things to arise, to pass away, based on nature's law, the panchaniyamas. That's why the Buddha say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Once you understand this, you develop profound wisdom. Because based on this statement, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. Means these causes and conditions is already manifested. That's why the condition within nature at that moment will have to move that direction, that manner. Cannot be otherwise. So if you want things your way, which is not in accordance with nature's movement, you suffer. That is the noble truth of dukkha, the universal characteristic. That's why when you see condition arising, you see impermanent. Because without condition, there is no activity or movement. So when you see impermanent, you see suffering. Then when you see suffering and impermanent, you will also see the empty nature of existence, non-self nature, that everything is not what you think, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. And that is Sakkaya Ditthi. Okay? So based on this explanation, now we move on to Unicode 147, which is on page 41. Then you will understand. Ability to understand the five mental aggregates of form and mind can free one's mind from the self-delusion of Sakkaya Ditthi. Means when you have the ability to understand these five mental aggregates of form and mind, you can free your mind. Then you can understand Dhammapada verse. Unicode 146. So this Unicode 146 is very unique, very, very unique, very beautiful, very powerful. Then Unicode 148 is a follow-up. This one completes the explanation. Unicode 148. Sakkaya Ditthi or self-delusion is rooted out when one has penetrated the understanding of this five aggregate of form and mind. The two aspects, based on the understanding that it is dependent originating. Hence, not a permanent unchanging entity, not real, and not what you think, and not you. So this one is very important. Yeah? So now we go into it. How can we develop the understanding of this five aggregate of form and mind? Why did the Buddha say, under the first noble truth reality, the final summary, in short, it is due to one's Sakkaya Ditthi or self-delusion that condition wants to grasp at this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. So your inquiry should be, why did the Buddha say this? How can I develop the understanding of this final summary? You remember in the early day I shared? Why did the Buddha say this? Because this statement need to be investigated upon in it. Like the Buddha say, the Dhamma is ahipasiko, stand up to the truth, because it is the truth, stand up to investigation. So the inquiry becomes very clear. Why did the Buddha say that? Well, it's the truth. Okay? But you got no basis. You haven't investigated. So the next inquiry is what? How can I understand it? So to understand that final summary, what must you develop as understanding? So that you can put it to test. Yeah? What is it that you must understand? The five aggregates of form and mind is there. That's why this five aggregates of form and mind is very important. This five aggregate of form and mind. When you understand this, you can investigate, put it to test. If I believe this is me, this is real, if I grasp onto it, cling onto it, do I suffer? And it's very easy. That's why his teachings are all connected. The five daily contemplation, the first three contemplation, is all related to the five aggregates of form and mind. So this five aggregates of form and mind, for you to understand, is very easy if you know how to inquire the second turning wisdom. That's why in the early day, when I started, I saw the beauty of the final summary. Then hardly anybody can explain what is five aggregates of form and mind. So, but in the teaching, the Theravada Sutta is only mentioned what these five things are. They always recite to you or rattle to you in theory. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. And that five aggregate also not clearly explained. Then they use English. And the English word, as you know, is not a Dhamma language, not so near to it. But it's very widely used. It's a universal language. So when it comes to using a different language to teach, it becomes more difficult. But we should give credit to the early monks or people who passed down the teaching through verbal, through chanting and all those things. Then those who did the translation from Pali to Sanskrit, then Sanskrit to Mandarin to English and various type of languages. I think in the early years when he was in Sri Lanka, he was translated to Sri Lanka dialect or whatever. Yeah. That's why in the early year there was no writing. It's only the Pali language, the authentic words of the Buddha. So all this actually makes the thing more difficult. It was not until 200-300 years later, after the Buddha's Parinibbana, that writing comes to be. Then, for the translation to take its effect until the five aggregate of form and mind has been translated into English or Mandarin, is also not easy. That's why I say we should give credit to them. But very few people understand the deep meaning. Maybe Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, quite easy. Yeah? Rupa means form. But they don't understand the two aspects. So, for the Buddha, he simplified his teaching. He don't make it complicated. So you look at this drawing. Yeah? The first aspect is as a human being. Yeah? I draw, of course, not so nice, but enough for you to understand. As a human being, we have a physical form. This form is our physical form, our physical body. Then the consciousness trapped inside is our mind, the pure consciousness when you are born. Then from there, you develop the conditioning. Then it becomes like more and more sophisticated, and it accumulate into the bundle of memory. Memory, which is your accumulated experiences, conditioning, belief system, knowledge, everything. That's how your brain, together with the consciousness, you retrieve all the knowledge, all the views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. From here, the brain and the consciousness interact very fast. That's why upon contact of the mind with the brain, what happens? If there is ignorance, avijja paccaya sankhara, then sankhara paccaya vijnana, that is the next stage. Sankhara is the thought process, the aggregates of mind. So when you make contact with the brain, what happens? Like the physics experiment, consciousness arises, isn't it? Like the light bulb, it lights up, isn't it? That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, when mental activity means you make contact with the brain, you try to retrieve information, everything. So this contact trigger of thought consciousness, or what we call namarup. Yeah. So the thought consciousness before the contact went in is pure vijnana. That's why the Buddha said in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, it's only the hearing consciousness. In the smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, it's only the pure consciousness. But this one, when we are a newborn baby, we can do. But there's no memory. But as you grow up with the sophisticated conditioning and belief system, you cannot do. You straight away, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya namarup, straight away, you don't see the pure vijnana. Because you bypass this flow. From here, it creates this. You straight away entangle yourself with it. That's why this nama-rupa, the five mental aggregates of form and mind, is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. So the first aspect, like I explained, is very easy. The first aspect is the physical body, the form as aggregate, is as a human being, our case, the physical body is the rupa. This is our physical body. So this is the form. Then this mind, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates to let you understand. You will have to ask yourself, what can your mind do? So basically, your mind can, the first one is what? You can feel, isn't it? There's a feeling aggregate. So first one is feeling, or what we call vedana. Then, what else can your mind do? Your mind can perceive. So this is sanya. So perception is sanya. So the third aggregate is easy. This one is sankhara. Everything that your mind can do. Actually, content of consciousness. You input the content. And this content include feeling and perception. Yeah. So these are the three basic functions. This is what sankhara is all about. Everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception, is sankhara. That's why basically the five aggregate, or the four aggregate of mind, is sankhara plus the last one, which is the receptacle, or what we call the pure consciousness. So this pure consciousness, which is vijnana, so this one is the pure consciousness, the receptacle that receive the content. Yeah. So this is the pure consciousness. What happened is, this one is initially is spacious awareness. Then what happened is, this is our pure nature, pure awareness nature. So this one is the one that starts. Then from there, you shrink it into a small space. this one shrink. Because you need to perceive into a small space. And this is where we perceive. So before you really input the content of consciousness, the pure perception without word, without concept or idea, the direct seeing, the pure perception means seeing things as they are, without label, nothing. So that one is a small space that we call the pure vijnana. And this is the one that receives the content and trigger off, become a thought. It become alive. So when it become a thought, it become a fine aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect. But the second aspect also need a form. That's why the mental form that enter come from perception, sanya. Without sanya, you cannot bring the external form. What you perceive, you cannot bring into the mind, the conscious mind. That's why the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is very important. And this is the reason why the Buddha separate feeling and perception out from the what they call content or consciousness. Because these two are very important. Feeling, Vedana, is under the second foundation of mindfulness. Vedana, Nupassana. You need this. This perception brings the external form into the mind. That's why these two need to be separated. So when you understand that you are the first aspect as a human being, living being. So this one is actually a human being. So this is the first aspect. So we put to test now. If you believe this is you, means it is a permanent unchanging entity. Yeah? This is what you are. Then this one you believe can own thing, possess thing, and have thing. Yeah? Then people look for eternal life. This one, they want it to live forever. Like all the emperor and all this thing. 长生不老. So if you attach to the physical body, the form aggregate, you will suffer, like the Buddha said. Because this one goes the way of nature. This one is not a permanent and changing entity, as we all know, it's just element. The four elements that makes up the physical body. No consciousness, no knowing. How can it be you? That's why the Buddha said, this form aggregate, the physical body of ours, is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. Because this is the nature's law. Whatever that is born will start to grow. Then reach a plateau, then it starts to decay. We call it aging. When you are born, you grow. Because there is young. Birth, growth into a child, then into a youth. Then you reach maybe puberty. Then after that, you no longer grow. You start to grow old. Then of course getting sick, injury, all will come with it. Even when very young, disease, everything can come with it. Then the Buddha said, this physical body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, be injured, and finally die. That's why that daily contemplation is very important. If you contemplate and have the wisdom, then you will not be afflicted when you go through this nature's reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death. So the first four reality of confronting birth, old age, sickness, and death, if you don't attach and cling to this physical body, if you don't deludedly believe this is you, then your problem is gone. This is how the Buddha gained enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree. When he suddenly realized that this physical body is not him. It goes the way of nature. Then why is it not him? Because he realized there is a law of karma. This physical body, the form and mind, is karmically conditioned through avijja, ignorance. Or if you are a bodhisattva, through the pure vijnana, love and compassion, then you come, you arise. And this one is dependent on anything because this one needs causes and conditions for it to arise. What are the causes and conditions for it to arise? You need a karmic nature, understand how? Then you need a rebirth consciousness, which is for normal people, deluded people, they die with avijja. So avijja, paccaya sankhara, the last thought moment, condition rebirth consciousness. And from there, the whole process starts again. So this is how these two, together with the life force, the first one, the physical form, come from the egg and the ovum, yeah? The reproductive system. Yeah? Then they generate the physical body. Then karmic nature will condition the karmic rebirth consciousness. Then this karmic nature will send in the karmic force, understand not? The karmic force that sustain the heartbeat. That's why as long as the karmic force is there, you will continue to like animate into a human being, continue to exist. But this form goes the way of nature. And this activity can only continue when these three conditions support itself are still there. Means the physical body not damaged, the consciousness has not left, the karmic force has not ceased. That's why when destructive karma come, without the karmic force, the heartbeat stop. Then consciousness separate, and you call it death. It's not death. It's just a separation of causes and conditions that sustain the existence. So if you meditate with awareness-based meditation, then you can see clearly. Like the Buddha under the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, he teach. He said, this physical body is the physical body you, is from you. Then what did the monk reply? It's not you. Yeah? It goes the way of nature. It's of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. If it's you, it will not tend towards suffering, understand? It will not go through old age, sickness and death. You will not suffer. That's why he came to the enlightenment realization where he knows the physical body is not him. That's why when he saw the first three of the four signs, old age, sickness and death, that actually haunted him. Because he know he has a problem. He cannot overcome old age, sickness and death. He thought this is him. But when he realized this one is independent, not a permanent object, not him, he realized, he awakened. He got no more problem. Yeah. Then after that, the next aggregate is feeling. If you attach to feeling, do you suffer? Because in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, he actually teach the same. But an easier way to understand is feeling you, like the physical body. It's feeling you. If it's you, it will not like go through that process of pleasant, unpleasant, or they call like and dislike. When feeling transform from pleasant feeling to unpleasant feeling, did you die? You didn't die there. Feeling arise and pass away, you didn't die. Then how can feeling be you? That is easier to understand. But he teach like the form, is it? Is feeling self? If feeling is self, it will not tend towards suffering. Means this feeling will not torment you, condition you into suffering and misery. So likewise, the other aggregate. But when I came this life, I realize it through my own understanding. I saw this one arise and pass away, this one arise and pass away, and I didn't die. That's why I thought you are the different one. For all the four aggregates of mind, they arise and pass away and you didn't die. So feeling, perception, sankhara, mind state, mental activity, content of mind, cannot be you. Like anger, fear, everything that arise. But these are dependent originating mind state based on your senses. Dependent originating, condition arising, based on your views, opinion, moral causation, habitual tendency. It developed this movement. Then when you understand if they are not you, then why did they arise in you within this form of mind? But this is karmically conditional. And the consciousness is trapped inside so that you can experience the karmic process. So that you can come to this existential world. This is the vehicle and the tool for you to come. Understand now? That's why I say, every being that wants to come to this universe or existential world, you must have a karmic nature. Otherwise you cannot come. Then when you want to come, this karmic nature must manifest a form of mind, which is your vehicle and tool for you to arise. But this is not you. This is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. If you meditate with the awareness-based meditation, then you see all this clearly. The five aggregates, they arise and they pass away. This one goes the way of nature, where as we go through life or you observe life, your parent, your grandparent, the older people, you start to witness the reality of birth, old age, sickness and death. And this reality triggers a lot of suffering. Especially we are going through life. At my age, 71, I have seen a lot. Then with my Dhamma understanding, I can understand a lot more. But younger people cannot. They don't even want to talk about it. Because they seldom experience old age, sickness and death. To them, the body is youthful, they only need money. So if you got money, they will have good life. So all this reality of life and existence, you need to have the mindfulness, the awareness and the wisdom to understand it. Then only you can understand life. You can understand the teaching, the secret of life and all things. So basically, this five aggregate of form and mind, the first aspect is very easy to understand. Then the second aspect is more difficult. You must have mindfulness to see how they manifest. And this one is very sophisticated. When you input the content of consciousness, it actually goes to the brain and retrieve. And all these accumulated memories and all things, which was not taught in the Theravada teaching. They never teach you how this thing happened. How the attachment, clinging, grasping, abuse, opinion, but they got word like habitual tendency. Yeah. Habitual tendency, is that a Pali word I mean? Oh, yeah. That one is defilement actually. They got three words. Asava, anusaya, kilesa. Yeah. So these three. But habitual tendency is actually a habit that you develop through your constant reaction to sense experience. When you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something, then you stir your mind through your views, opinion, conditioning and belief system. Then it becomes so habitual. Yeah. Then it develops into what they call habitual tendency. That tendency, anusaya also tendency. Yeah. They also translate as tendency. Your whatever tendency behavior, your behavior. Huh. Oh, sichi. So because of that, this second aspect of the five aggregate form of mind, without mindfulness, awareness, you cannot see the whole thing. You cannot understand. Yeah, when I went through the cessation and I come out, I saw how that interaction happened. I saw the sense data coming in. That how I actually retrieve them through here. Then how I saw the pure movement. Then I saw the views, the opinion, the conditioning. Then I saw how I, the mundane mind stir and react. But before the wisdom, you cannot see. You cannot understand. You become conditioned into it. You become like that. And you're like a robot. Mechanical. You just like reflect action. Pop, pop. You react. You stir your mind. You create this movement within sankhara activity itself. That's why the Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicam. Then sabbe sankhara dukkham. Straight away. But the third one is a sabbe dhamma anatta. Anatta means non-self. And the bigger, deeper meaning is not a permanent, unchanging entity. Not self means not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So the non-self actually comes from the understanding that it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's not self. Not self. If it's self, it will not tend towards suffering. Now that statement is very powerful, which is very good. Because if it's you, you have control, isn't it? You can tell the body, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. But this fellow is not you. You go the way of nature. That's why he says, choy le tu ngong. No such thing. You are living in a conditioned world that is dependent originating. And this one go the way of nature. It's not you, not what you think. You look at it. You tell the body, don't grow old, don't get sick, and don't die. It can never obey you. Then you tell him, you want to get sick, let me know. He choy little ngong. You eat the wrong thing, you succumb to the disease and the sickness. Then you got DNA, karmically conditioned. Oh, you inherit one. That's why you're born of your karma, heir to your karma. You cannot blame anybody for what happened. But this is what the nature's law is. That's why the Buddha is so wise. He realized all this. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned by your karma. And you are what you are before. So the five daily contemplation, all the essential dhamma, he was able to systematically develop this wisdom and understanding and share it with the world. There is no teaching so complete and so direct. That's why when I came this life, the first time I saw the Four Noble Truths, 1971, I remember I was in Form 5. I straight away like inside tell me, that's it, no need to search. Because who can summarize to me all of life? Both mundane and super mundane. We didn't just Four Noble Truths. Then my nature tell me, even if I have realized this teaching, I cannot teach like that. No way. Unless he is the real one, the Sammasambuddha. That's why his realization is so extensive and so profound. That's why he has perfected all the wisdom. That's why he can share and teach. And he don't make mistake one, no. Until today, I cannot find any contradiction in his teaching anywhere. No. Do you realize the four foundations of mindfulness? The Anagami one and the ten, what they call Avijja Sutta? They match, exactly. In the early day, before I saw the ten Avijja Sutta, the ten step, I remember Chui asked me that question in the Heart Sutta class. Brother Teo, why anagami? Why not sotapat or sakadagami? The time I answer her, you go and look at the first edition, you will know. But that time, I didn't have the 10 step in the Abhijja Sutta to actually come to know how all this become what it is. So later on, when I saw the Abhijja Sutta, I actually edited a bit of that part. He asked me on. I put in all these things. I bring out the 10 steps in the Avijja Sutta, then I make it complete. That's why I say, very beautiful. His essential Dhamma, he never contradicted. Even the five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, seven factors, everything is like, no need to remember or no. Just in the cultivation, it's like that or no. One by one, no. Like the five spiritual faculties. Without Saddha, there is no Virya. Without Virya, you will not strive to develop Sati. And without Sati, you cannot stay blind into Samadhi. And without Sati and Samadhi, you cannot develop wisdom. It's very direct. And the five mental hindrances also, how he hinder your mind from entering the meditative state, that five mental hindrances are so complete. Sensual desire, ill will, the first two is the one that react and stir and create this mental hindrance. That's why human beings cannot meditate. They cannot come here. Because here to here, this one very active. And the mind, immediately consciousness arrives, content when it is stirred, react already. Then grabs, cling. That's why this whole phenomenal world of consciousness, existential world, become like so real. So you add something. Let me have a drink.
Yes, Kiho to Kayanamitas. Actually, on this part where you, on the whiteboard, where you went through the form and mind, the five aggregates, there was one part that I could never make the connection. When you go through the part, you say, it's form self, it's feeling self. Actually, I was, in the back of my mind, I always wonder, why are you looking for a self inside the form? Why are you looking for a self inside the feeling? Quite long, I couldn't understand what was the message. At this point, how I understand it at my level, what I see for now, as much as I can see, is the investigation I got is what is self first? Because before you ask, is form self? What do I mean when I say a self? Then I think me lah. Okay, what is me? My name, Sui, certain age. Then I, when I see the whiteboard, is form self. Oh, okay. So this self that I call me is form, is my body, what I think is me. My physical body, my age, my name. Actually, all this can change. So when you say form is condition arising, nothing of this is permanent. My name can change. My age is always changing. Every cell in my body has been different from the day I was born until now. Then no, okay, I cannot define myself, the me I thought I am, using the form. Only other thing left apart from form is the mind. Mind broken down to four. That's why you go and check. Then are my feelings, do my feelings make up myself, me? Do they identify me? Does it make me that identity that I understand myself to be? And then that also, no. Because all the feelings, how I feel about something, like one day I can feel this is good, this is appropriate. The next day after I learn more about the world, actually not so straightforward. The right and wrong is not so straightforward. How I getting angry at something, actually next time I can look at it in the same situation, can feel happy about it. So even that, it's not a consistent thing that I can say, oh, when I get angry at looking at durian, then this is myself, this is Suyi. No, I can't say that. So feeling is also not something that I can define myself with. Same with perception, my the way I perceive something, the way I recognize something, and also all my ideas, ideology, value system, my sankhara, all my everything I think that has a value can change as I age. Different things hold different values at my different phase in life. So when I go through that way, then I start to understand, like, oh, nothing that I define myself with is actually a sui. There's no such thing. So that is currently like my series of elimination to realize there is no such thing as a self. There's no such thing like a me. Everything is made up. It's like you say, a conditioned world, a phenomenal world, an illusion, a magician. There's no me.
So for Sui, she used the what they call rationalization through understanding, mainly still at the thought activity level. But more important is, you see, it's not easy to penetrate. What the Buddha meant when he said it's the form or the physical body self. Here, the meaning is very deep. It's not about who you are, understand? No. That self that he meant is, I better write it here. Is it a permanent, unchanging entity? So here, what he means is it the me and the I that is eternal? Understand? Not? So the me and the I, if you have the understanding, that's why the Buddha say, if form is self, it will not tend towards suffering. True or not? But if it's a permanent unchanging entity, it will not get old, get sick and die. Understand? If this is you, you can tell this fellow, don't grow old, don't get sick and die. It is not you. That's why it's, in a sense they use the word anatta, also not wrong. Because this one is not a permanent unchanging entity, it's not self. So the teaching teach anatta as non-self. Non-self is different from no self. Understand or not? Your self is the other extreme. No self is the other extreme. In between means what? Non-self. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call the me and the I, the self, understand or not? But this exists, understand or not? The human being exists, understand or not? That's why it's not self and no self, understand or not? These two are the extreme. The middle path is not a self, not a permanent unchanging entity, but it is a human being, for our case. It exists. This is subject to karma. This is where the difference is. This is where a lot of cultivators cannot understand. It's like very contradictory. The Buddha say, anatta, non-self, not me, but they don't know it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Then they say, on the other sense, he say, I am born of my karma, heir to my karma, condition and support, and I am what I am become. So the I come back now. But the I refer to the form and mind, understand not? Which is subject to karma. It does not refer to the ultimate understanding of non-self. So this non-self is very powerful. If it's self, it will not tend towards suffering. Means this one will remain forever. Yeah. You can command the fellow. Yeah. I want you to be forever young. Forever, don't get sick, don't get old. Yeah. This is self. Even feeling. If feeling is you, the way I understand it through my meditation is like easy. If feeling is me, pleasant feeling arise, then pleasant feeling pass away, unpleasant feeling arise, did I die? I didn't die. Feeling come and go, I'm around. So how can feeling be me? If feeling is not me, then this is definitely not the permanent unchanging entity that I can call self, understand? Because it tends towards suffering. It is dependent originating, condition, right? So this word self, don't go to the idea of the thought, who am I, what am I? This is not that personality. This is not that one that describes you, understand? This one is referring to a permanent unchanging entity that in the early days, the Hindu believe there is a Atman, ultimate self, understand? That doesn't die. They believe when everything over, they are the Atman. The permanent, what they call, Atman, they call what, the universal self, or don't know what, there's a name for it. Yeah. But the Buddha teaching is none of all those things. He said that one also, non-self. That's why sabbe dhamma, what? Anatta means here. This pure awareness nature also not you. Because it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. Understand or not? That's why this one is also non-self. Not a permanent, not an entity. Not like this floor can come out and live life. Subject to karma. That's why you look at the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. It's made in a very simple way for people who don't have the awareness nature meditation to realize and penetrate. You don't have to reach here to realize. That's why the sainthood way is two words. And he teach, the direct teaching, you can also awaken. But this one that I teach you on later on is after I develop the awareness nature, I connect after 89, I realize myself, then I teach you. This one is not in the teaching one. This one is, I saw feeling arise and pass away. I didn't die. Perceptions. That's why all these aggregate of mine, I know very clearly they are not me. If they are not me, why did they arise in me? I asked the other inquiry, remember? Then who are you? What are you? If the five aggregate of form and mind is not you, means this whole human being is not you, then who are you? What are you? Then I realize without thought, I am this nature. Then I try to develop the understanding of who am I, what am I, without thought. Who am I, what am I? When I'm here, completely no word, nothing, the unconditioned. I cannot describe. That's why I am nothing. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It cannot talk. It cannot say anything. It's just that nature, ever bright, luminous, radiating the oneness nature. This one, finally, when you realize Nibbana, this one also sees. Then I realize this is also not a permanent, unchanging entity, not a cell. You cannot hold on to it. It also sees. And this one only can arrive when you come as a form and mind, a vehicle and a tool. Then you meditate, then only you can access it. Well, within the form and mind. Well, it comes from the karmic nature. And this karmic nature, there is a gateway to lead you back to the spiritual nature, to realize this creation. Understand? That's how the whole teaching becomes very, very complicated. And people cannot understand. But when my nature realizes, it is so clear. Understand? But when I share, you must not take the word literally. That's why Sui rationalize through the thought. Then here, you eliminate, take you very long. Straight away ask yourself, is this really what you are? A permanent, unchanging entity. It's nothing to do with the personality of who you are. Understand not? So if this is not a permanent unchanging entity, if this is dependent originating, then I am definitely not this. Because self, no self, are the two extremes. One is a permanent unchanging entity. The other one, no self, means nothing, nothingness. But this one is in between, the form and mind. This fellow is real, exists within the existential world. But it is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's not self. That's why the Buddha called it non-self. Understand? Not? But there is something. Understand? Not? That is the beauty of the teaching. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So hopefully, because of Sui's condition, you also can penetrate. I think a lot of you still haven't really clearly penetrated. If you clearly penetrate, I tell you, you straight away awaken. Like the five ascetic, remember? The five of them all become arahant. Really? When you awaken to this, you all become arahant. There's no more abhijja. Understand not? The last five factor, attachment to the form jhana, formless jhana, then minor consider, all these things gone. Because it's actually empty, not really what you think. And these five, they are so clear. is not what you think. Empty nature exists. All these are dependent, originating, condition arising phenomena, not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So this is the egoic mind, sakayaditi. This is where sakayaditi is. See this. When you see this, means you realize this is not a permanent, unchanging entity. This is not something you can rely upon and say, this is me, this is I. Then you try to own thing, possess thing. Like the Buddha say, this only the fools, like men, understand? The foolish people. For that very body also don't belong to him. Wherein wealth, wherein property, wherein son, all these don't exist. So that profound teaching came from the understanding of that underneath the Bodhi tree, he just realized that this is not a permanent unchanging entity, and he liberated his mind. He connect back and he realized the whole teaching. Everything come back to him. That's how he became the Sammasambuddha. So when he connect, the spiritual nature, Sammogayakaya, came back. Combined with the physical body, Nimanakaya, he become a Sammasambuddha and he teach the Dhamma. That's why this Trikaya developed into a Dhammakaya that teach the Dhamma body. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today's topic is very important. Eh? Reflect on it. Oh, already 10:18. Never mind. So now we open up for Q&A or meditation reporting. Anybody want to add anything or ask any question, you can just come in. Amy, yes, sadhu.
Sukihontu, Brother Teo, Mr. Steele, and all Kalyanamitas. I would like to share today's Dharma joy with all of you. This morning, after breakfast, I listened to the recording Dhamma sharing by Brother Teo on Sunday.
Sadhu. Sunday. That one was very good.
The previous Sunday.
Yeah.
Brother Teo also mentioned a lot, clarify very profoundly.
Yes.
On anatta. Three meanings, deep meanings.
Yeah.
So the non-self, the not a permanent and changing entity.
And the empty nature or existence. That one very powerful. Sadhu.
At first, I will rewind it. When I heard a certain part of the Dhamma sharing, I don't know why I can't remember which part. I was just fully aware of it, of your Dhamma sharing. The understanding, it can be understood.
Sahadu, sahadu. Based from that nature, you actually realize and awaken to it. Because are ready with the understanding. You only need a little bit of like trigger. Then it trigger. Because you listen attentively with the faith. Then you are ready in the sense that you have good understanding of what this thing is before. Except now it's a lot clearer. A lot clearer. And this one, as long as your form and mind is there, you can never forget one. You can never forget one. Because it's inside there already. Because the form and mind that go through that realization has the understanding. But you have to do one thing. You must, like the Bodhisattva vow, determine to have this understanding life after life whenever you arise. Then it becomes different. No? You will be like my nature. When I come, I don't have to remember. All this teaching will fall into place. And I can understand it then. Actually, nobody teach me. Yeah. My teacher also cannot teach me on a lot of these things. They share with me certain things that benefited me. But they cannot teach like what I share with you. Because this one is understanding the Bodhisattva way cultivation. The four circle formation. Especially. So sadhu to you. That one very beautiful. That's why the last few classes sharing after I came back from Switzerland, yeah, the European trip, you must listen. They are so different. Because like, as if it's meant to be, you know. That's why I also don't know why the condition manifests. And you all should thank that two new fellow. One of them is Chan and the wife. They are very serious. Tuesday class, they still come. And they ask very good questions. No? You go and listen to yesterday, Tuesday. No, very good. He asked me, he said, Brother, we are new. He said, how can we develop the understanding of what you share? He said, how should we listen? Very good, that one. Then from there, I explain a lot of things. Because earlier on, without these new people, as if you all know already, then I just went through. But now, because of these new people, Thursday class also, that Brother Wong also came for two sessions, I also have to go back and refresh him on why method, technique, and also, he also, from the Mahasi tradition, he know he has been doing all this, following the noting, or thing, the thought-based, or thing. Then he heard my YouTube, he knew that the Buddha under salutation to the Dhamma very clearly mentioned that this Dhamma is akaliko. That's why now he want to reverse that understanding to work on the awareness-based meditation. So I knew he is very new. So I had to explain the whole thing again. Why people cannot meditate without method and technique and all those things. Or object of meditation. Then how the five aggregates of form and mind, how they manifest, then the five spiritual faculty, five mental hindrance. So I went back, the whole summary, which is very good. And also, like today, I think I went in beyond the Q&A, take up most of the time. So all these are meant to be. All three online, sadhu to them. So you all should thank them. Without them, I will not go backward and share all this. Then I share all this is like there are a lot of new people who wants to understand. But this retreat, a lot of new people. No? Penang, a few. No? Penang, that Kua Lasi already want to come on. No? He listened to our previous retreat so many times. No? It took him almost a few months to a year. No? He said he's still listening. No? Because that thing really inspiring on the understanding, very different. That's why you all come for the retreat. It's going to be very different. And this time around, I think it's going to be more different again because it's meant to be. The causes and conditions are there and a lot of things going to, I think, unfold. And because of Chin Hao Sui, they all do the short video. I realized, based on the feedback, all these people here, heard my short video one, and they become interested. Because the long version, like our one session, 2-3 hours, nobody will listen if they are new. Understand? So the short video actually capture a lot of interest. And all these people got affinity. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here paying attention and attentively want to learn. And these are very serious cultivators. Then they came from different backgrounds. They don't know me. They haven't really contacted me until after they listened to the video or something. Then they came to the class. Okay, let me continue.
During the understanding, I was like, submerged totally in that understanding.
Sadhu. Yeah.
But when, how to say? When I wanted to know what I
am. Not inside there.
Totally nothing.
Nothing, blank. Nothing. Very good.
So
because that Dhamma is not from memory one. Because the human being's tendency is try to recall what I have. Realize cannot because that one is wisdom. That's why I say from now onward that thing won't go away from you. You no need to realize, like Guangqing Lao Zhang said, wisdom is Sometimes the person who realizes it also doesn't know that he has realized it. But when he or she encounter situation, they know how to manifest one. They know what that thing is one. And that is wisdom. Na chai si zi hui. That's why very beautiful. Sahadu, sahadu. Then this one will deepen one. As you contemplate later on, as you contemplate, reflect, then you listen attentively again. You will receive them very fast, faster and faster. But as your understanding stabilizes, it's like, you remember I told Paramasuri about a few years back, I predicted at that time, maybe 5 to 10 years later, when we gather and talk, we talk very different already. We also share very differently. We are with the understanding, everybody can have the understanding. We share and talk, like normal, what they call cultivator of the way. You are like during the Buddha's time, all the disciples or those that really have the awakening, they talk among themselves, very different. No need to explain. A lot of joy. Sahadu, sahadu, sahadu. Very good, Amy. Continue, yeah.
So I don't know really what I understand.
No need to know. That is the best.
So after that, there's some condition arising. Then I pause the recording. Stop it there. So after lunch, I didn't listen yet. After lunch, I try to reflect, contemplate.
Oh, that one very good.
Slowly come back.
Immediately the answer.
The answer come back. Immediately come back.
That's a mind to mind.
Yeah. Mind to mind shift. The realization come from that nature one. So that nature, that's why I told her, that nature, no worry. As long as this form and mind is still around, but this form and mind gone, that thing also, not to say disappear,
you understand or not? But the form and mind that realizes it through the awareness nature, no more, understand or not? No more means actually the whole thing disappear or not. But it doesn't mean disappear, but there's a spiritual nature there, understand or not? The spiritual nature is the one that will have the understanding. It's up there already, understand or not? But that one very funny one. When you come as a living being, like I explained, not until you connect, you cannot inherit from here. It's not like this below. The moment you are born, the Buddha said, you are born with your karma, add to your karma, conditions, you are what you are. But this below cannot. I realize this below, you need to connect, then only this one come back. Well, after 1989, I realized, my this spiritual understanding, the nature, all come back now. That's why when I share and teach, I realize a lot of things I never learned this life. Then how can I understand? All this, I never learned this life. No teacher teach me as well. Then how can I understand? It's definitely from here. Then when I penetrate the gateway, after 9 months, the mundane mind collapse, that nature continue to evolve until it illuminate that nature. Then until that clarity, renouncing samsara, you understand. That's like the 5 stages of bodhi mind development. I no need anybody to teach me. I just read it from the booklet, never explain anything. But I knew what the thing is. Then how can I have all this understanding? No way. Yeah. That's why this teaching is what Maitreya want me to share with the world. This karmic nature, spiritual nature, even Mahayana teaching, you cannot find. You can check. If anybody can share with you this 4 circle formation and this 2, he is the real one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good, let me say sadhu.
Why I say it's mind to mind series because I understand deeply.
Yeah, deeply.
Your Dharma sharing is straight from the heart.
Yeah, straight from the heart.
When I receive, also
straight from the heart.
Straight to my
heart. Yeah, that's why I say last time, remember at the retreat, you asked me, what is that? I say, you listen, the vibration go in, and not pretty, actually it's in already. But when the time come after you reflect, contemplate, and your understanding evolve, then you listen to my recording and not pretty. That one will trigger off. Then after that is inside there already. And so, the form and mind that use the awareness nature like you described, you were listening from that nature attentively. And with that faith and the understanding, the joy, then suddenly you will know that it has awakened. And that time a lot of joy. But after that, you try to recall, cannot. You are booming kiawan. Here is not a knowledge. Then when you reflect and contemplate, you create condition for it to arise again. That's why straight away the answer came back. Sadhu, very, very good.
Yeah, exactly what Varatio said just now. So that at the moment was full of
joy. You
know, whether it's joy or not.
It's joy. It's like, you know, these are so beautiful, you know, the teaching.
Yeah, it's very bright.
Very bright. Full. Full. It's just like, you are so happy or so satisfied. But the clarity is there. The clarity, the understanding, and it transforms your nature, you know. Your nature become like, that nature is like illuminated, you know. That's why it can illuminate that nature. It that's why the Buddha said, pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. Sadhu,
so very good. After that, I go back to the recording again and again, not less than 3 times.
Yeah, you should do that, because every time you listen different again, no, the understanding, like a lot of words that are first time you think you already listen, but after you have the awakening and the understanding, you listen again, the words stand out again, then more and more words, until finally, the joy, you will come to know one thing. Only a person who has developed very deep understanding and clarity can share like that. Nobody can share like that. Every word is very direct, like the Buddha's essential Dhamma. Very penetrative. That's why the teaching is very different from ordinary thought-based Dhamma knowledge. And this one are shared from the heart. Unique Dhamma code, no. Otherwise, how I come out with the title? And you were the one that actually kept in your computer the 160 over of those codes. Then when I wanted to compile the book, somebody requested, then you reply through the email. My nature knew. I say, wow, meant to be. I say, the book want to come out. Then you send me the whole thing. Then I edited it, I compiled it, I sequenced it. Then it become this book. This book is going to help a lot of people. Sadhu, sadhu. No wonder she wants to come today. Now I know why.
Sadhu. After I listened many times, the recording, listen again, then my heart told me.
Yeah, must come.
Attendance.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because when I saw Cindy not around, she come by herself, I know something already.
I was full of joy.
You were full of that radiant and that joy inside. Can see.
And then I said, how am I going to explain this?
Correct. But it so happened the talk match, the today sharing match exactly. Then Sui asked that question. It become more clear also and help a lot of people, because that word, anatta lakkhana, if you can understand, it's very beautiful. Yeah, I remember in the early days, before 1989, I read that Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Then I know it was beautiful, but my way is different now. I need to go through that nature, inherit, then I develop the awakening and understanding on my own. That's why after that, I continue in my cultivation. Then later on, I awaken, then I compare. Then I realized the Buddha used the anatta lakkhana with the five ascetic at that time. They are not ready. What I shared is on the five ascetic cannot understand at that time. But the anatta lakkhana they can understand. Because he used the word, is form self, the physical body. Then they said no, because they know from the five daily contemplations, this body are always of the nature to grow old, get sick. And they went through the Dutanga practice with him, you remember? It was not easy, and I said, no, it's a lot of suffering and all things. Then when it comes to that part, is this self, when they answer no, then the Buddha explained, for it with self, it will not tend towards suffering. And the word become like very clear to them, no? It like re-vibrate inside their mind, no? Which is very true. If it's self, permanent unchanging entity, me, then it will not tend towards suffering, understand? No? It will not get old, get sick and die. It's me. But because it's not self, that's why it tends towards suffering. Then later on, he go for the other aggregate. Yeah. Then he go a second round, understand? No? Is it permanent or impermanent? And so, then they realize, definitely la, form impermanent, la, go the way of nature, la, feeling come and go, also impermanent. La, so everything is there. Then after that, his final conclusion, la, whatever that tends towards suffering and is impermanent, is it right for you to say, this is me, this is I, this is self? Straight away they awaken, understand? La. Where you see impermanent, yeah, and it tends towards suffering, how can it be me? Understand? No? That's why I say that one very easy. That one lay people also can awaken, sainthood way. La. But this one that I went through, awareness based one, is very penetrative. I realize feeling cannot be me. The physical body cannot be. Well, to me, when I contemplate, this physical is the four elements. Go the way of nature, I already know. Without the consciousness, how can it be me? That's why the missing link is the consciousness and the karmic force, the dependent originating one. So my nature in the awareness, I realize these two complete the thing and create the elimination of the form and mind into a live human being. Yeah. Then after that, when I developed the awareness, then I saw feeling arise and pass away. Anger, emotion, how they arise and pass away. That's why I can teach you, they are not intrinsic within our nature. Because they are dependent originating mind state. Before I get angry, there was no anger. Before I have fear, there was no fear. So how did fear come to be? That's why the Buddha said, trace the origination factor through your senses. Through your wrong view, you stir, you react, you created it. That's why all this become like so clear at all. Then it just, that nature just, that's why after 1989, that time I also don't know who can understand. That's why I didn't teach until 2004 when Yun Chan came to me. 15 years now, I lie dormant now. Lie low, not dormant, lie low, like Hui Ning with the hunters. But I was not with the hunter, I was with my family. So that time was very interesting. So rejoice, let us sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anything else to finally wrap up? No more. Okay. Let us now rejoice one more time and we will share Maria. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will share merit, transfer merit, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anuoditwa cirang rakan tu lokasasana. Itta vata ca'amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Itang menya tinang ho tu sukhita hon tu nyatayo. Itang menya tinang ho tu sukhita hon tu nyatayo. Itang menya tinang ho tu sukhita hon tu nyatayo. Deo asatu kalina sasa sampati hetu ca. Fito bawa tu loko ca, raja bawa tu damiko. Imina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patia, sadu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.